I'm Jikin Lau, and I am a PhD student at Texas A&M, and today I'm going to be talking about using interactive 3D plots generated in Rplotly to answer questions within a breeding program. So three questions or areas I want to look at is uniformity within the field, selecting for high-performing genotypes, and just looking for outliers. Those are just three themes that we're going to look at today. So, of course, as any plant scientist and also plant breeders, you want homogeneity in the field. You want a homogeneous field, whether that be the soil, inoculum, sunlight, nutrition. However, it's not always the case. And elevation changes, creeks, roads, wind, they can all create tiny microclimates. And typically, we block against these, and we throw it into JUMP or SAS or R, and you get it on NOVA, and then you look at that rep term or block term and see if it's significant. And if it is, then it means there's a block effect. But this is our field, and obviously it's not very uniform. On your right, you see rows 1 and 2, and that's higher up in elevation. It's adjacent to a dirt road, and every time a car or a truck comes by, a big dust cloud just forms, and it actually covers the first three or four double rows of roses. And on the other end of the field, it's lower in elevation, as you can see on the left, and it's adjacent to a drainage creek, and it's prone to flooding when there's heavy rains. And I just want you to kind of remember the row numbers. 1 and 2 being the higher up, because in the plots that you'll see, it's numbered by rows, and then the higher number is actually lower in elevation. So the questions I was thinking about when I was looking through the data is, does a dirt road affect productivity and or disease? Because those first few rows are always covered by dust. And the other question is, do the flooding of the rows at the bottom during Hurricane Harvey affect productivity and or disease? So during Hurricane Harvey, we got a whole lot of rain within a day, and some roses, about 2 to 4 rows of roses, were completely submerged for about a day or two. And another question was, is there a uniform natural distribution of inoculum throughout the field? So every month, on about 300 rows cultivars, we have about 3 reps out there. We go through and we look at flower intensity. We look at black spot incidence, cercospora defoliation, flower cleaning, flower rating, and a landscape rank, which is the overall rank. But for time's sake, we're going to look at black spot first, then flower intensity, and then at the end we'll look at landscape rating. So when we take all this numerical data, we get all these numbers, and you can, the same thing again, you can put it in through SAS, you can put it in through JUMP or R, and you get all these ANOVA tables. But what does it exactly mean? So I wanted to be able to see my data or visually look at it, and I can't remember how I stumbled across Plotly, but it produces 2D and 3D plots that are interactive, in which you can zoom in, zoom out, you can put your mouse cursor over the individual data points, and it tells you what data point it is. And the best thing, I think, is you can export it as an HTML file, and you can send it to a collaborator, and that HTML file contains all the data points, and they can interact with the data and look at the data. And also, one cool thing I found is it allows you to pick your coloring so that you can look at not only 3D data, but you can look into a fourth dimension. I'll show you that in a second. So first, looking at black spot. Black spot, we rate on a scale of 0 to 9, and 0 being no black spot coverage on the foliage, to 9 being 90% of the foliage is covered with black spot. And as you can see here, a simple ANOVA shows that there's a genotype effect, the name, there's a month effect, and there's a rep effect, or a block effect. But what does that block effect actually mean, or rep effect actually mean? So this is all the data points throughout the whole year, and the X and Y axis is a physical location of the plants within the field. So X being the row, Y being the tree or the plant. We also work with peaches, so that's why it says tree. It just never got changed. And the z-axis is the black spot severity. Right now, you see it's colored as the black spot severity. And theoretically, if the rep effect is large enough, when you look at it from the top, you should start seeing a clustering towards one side. But as you look through all these black spot levels, you don't see any clustering. But if you remember back to the model, the NOVA table, there's also a month effect. So this is just a quick video, just looking at it colored by this way. We'll skip it because of time. If you color by month, this is the exact same data. It's all the data points within the whole year. The X and the Y axis are the physical locations in the field, the Z axis being the black spot rating. However, now it's colored by month. So you can isolate each month and see how the black spot progression or the black spot rating is throughout the field. So this is March, and what you can see is that it's higher in the middle of the field. This is April, it's pretty even. May, June, July, pretty even. August, you see on the end of the field, and both ends of the field are higher. On the left is the side that has the creek that will get flooded. And in August of 2017, Hurricane Harvey hit. So the next month when we took data, that side of the field, the left side of the field, it all disappears. And actually, you can't really see that one there. But and on this side, there's a lot. On the other side, there's not as much. October, it goes back to normal. November, it goes back to normal on that side of the field. And here, you can see just in video form what I just shown. And that's March, April, May. At the very end, I'll go back to the month where you see, I'll go back to September, this one, and move around so you can see how on the left side, there's a lot less. So that's looking at something that had a rep effect. Flower intensity, however, did not have a rep effect. And looking at the same exact plots that I showed earlier, if I color it by the trait I'm looking at, of course I'm not going to see anything clustering to any side of the field. And then when I color it by month, you kind of see the same thing. You don't see significant clustering towards one side of the field or the other side of the field. Here you see everything clustering towards the bottom, meaning all the ratings are around 1 and 2. This is pretty even throughout the field. April and May, it's pretty even. You see a few outliers near the top, but it's not enough to be significantly different. In June, it's towards the bottom. July, towards the bottom. August, September, October, November. This is just a video showing the same thing. And at the very end of the video, it'll show, I'll move it around a little just to show that there is a few outliers near the top, but everything's clustering towards the bottom. So all those views, all those videos and pictures were just to show what it actually means when we get that rep effect, how it's different throughout the field spatially, throughout time. So on to the second thing, selecting top performers. So as a plant breeder, you want to select the best genotypes to basically carry on, use as parents or to carry them on to the next generation. So every year, my advisor, Dr. Byrne, asks us, okay, what parents do you want to use for your crosses next year? So instead of looking through all 7,000 data points that we have of that year, I decided to only look at landscape rank. Landscape rank is after we take our data of all the of black spots or Casper, all this stuff, we give it an overall rank. One being really good, and five being awful, and three being okay. So what I decided to do was plot everything out and just arbitrarily saying that genotypes that were a 2, a 1.5, and a 1, those are good. And what I did was I plotted all the genotypes on the x-axis and the landscape rank on the y-axis, and on the z-axis, the month, because what I ideally wanted to find is what genotypes made it through the hot Texas summer and looks the best at the end of the year. And this is what you can get. I select only the desirable ones, and then with my mouse I can go over and look at the names of what did well in November, what did well in October, and the names of what did well in September. And the names that showed up more often, those are the ones I used as parents for the next year. And that's a whole lot easier than sorting through a bunch of data. It's also super easy. This wasn't an intended thing. I wasn't looking for outliers, but a lot of our data and a lot of probably breeders' data, they take data on intervals or discrete data. So, for instance, what we did here, whatever rating this was, it was on a 0.5 kind of interval. So 1, 1.5, 2. So it's really easy to see outliers that don't fit the grid when you plot everything out. And on there it says 3.2 or something like that. And this is just a video of how everything should look, and then you just see the little green outlier in the middle. And all that, all those animations and pictures were done in less than 40 lines of code, which means it should be easy and people should be doing this to explore their data, in addition to doing their statistics, so they can understand what they're looking at, what their statistics mean. So in conclusion, large data sets within breeding programs are difficult to visualize. However, what you saw today was a demonstration on looking at uniformity within a field, selection of best genotypes, and visualization of outliers. And many questions can be answered using Plotly by using these interactive plots to explore the data. And many other questions can be answered. You just have to be more, you just have to be creative in trying to create these plots. And with that, I thank my funding sources. And with that, I'll take any questions. Yes.
So you were just using like ordinal qualitative data. You've done this also with quantitative variables as well. Do you know if that would work?
So the question is, this data was ordinal, and it does work with quantitative traits because. I guess technically, even though our black spot ratings and our all our disease ratings are like 1 to 10 scale, it follows a, like, it's like a percentage. So we analyze it as quantitative, even though technically it's not. So yes. Beforehand, in my undergrad, we had to do some R, and then when I started looking at this, I had just taken a class that was heavily intensive in R, so I was just playing around and got this. Yep. Alrighty.
Thank you.
Thank y'all.